Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 24th day of February, year 2021. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is exciting times, isn't it? We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo-Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cumri Ambith. Callers will be welcome during the broadcast. If you call in or use your computer to contact us, please remember to be polite, use proper language, and be respectful for any of the callers who may be on the line at the same time. We are in the question and answer mode, which means everybody is automatically muted until such time as you indicate to me you wish to join the call. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. A reminder, we have a Daily Mail page there where we keep the latest news. We also have a Listen Live page, which tells folks about upcoming broadcasts and how to listen to the show, whether by phone or using a computer. Let's see, I had a verse here. Oh, here's where it is, I think. Yeah. In Jeremiah chapter 29, starting at verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says Yahweh, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you hope and a future. You shall call on me, and you shall go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." You know, it's funny how many times our people, and you can see how ignorant people are today just by the responses to this scamdemic and all of the communist takeover ploys that are being played. People don't know how to read effectively. They don't know how to reason. They don't question. And so they get misled. The scripture says basically that because they no longer love the truth, he put a strong delusion on the people. Now think about that. Strong delusion, which we have today, the Antichrist Babylonian system is deluding people like never before. You couldn't get an ounce of truth out of any of the major outlets, the major institutions, the media, the government, medicine, academia, you name it. They're all in on it together. They're all liars. So he puts a strong delusion because they don't love the truth. Now here in Jeremiah 29, he says, "You shall seek me and find me when." You see, there's a condition. Many of the verses in Scripture have conditions, and people gloss over the conditions. And then they wonder, well, wait a minute. How can you tell me there's a God? How can you tell me we're being blessed or we're His chosen people? I don't see it. Well, you forget the conditions. Right here in Jeremiah 29, we see that the condition is, when you search for me with all your heart. Now, in English, we know what that means. Other languages, I'm not quite sure how they say that. But it means with everything you've got, heart, body, and soul, when you search for me. It goes along with what the Arian Christ said 2,000 years ago when he said, "I am at the door knocking. Are you going to let me in?" You see, it requires something on your behalf. A lot of people say, "Oh, Dan, I don't think there is a God. He just doesn't like me, and Satan hates me, and my life is miserable, blah, 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 blah." Well, it's because they don't think about the verses where it says what you're to do. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Maybe we should go there and read that. I want to come back to Psalm 91 at one point, but let's go ahead and do that. We'll read that. 2 Chronicles. Let me get it up here. Chapter 7. And we're reading from BibleGateway.com. And we're using the World English Bible. And here we go to 2 Chronicles 7:14. If, see, it starts right out with a condition. If my people, my people, who are called by my name will humble themselves. Most of our people don't even know what the word humble means. If my people who are called by my name, or use my name, we could even say that, will humble themselves, that's one condition. Pray means speak to the Father, face to face, one-on-one. Seek my face, mean seek his wisdom, understanding his law, and turn from their wicked ways. There's the rub. There is the rub for most of our people. And turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin. What's sin again? Oh, that's right. Transgression of his law. You know, the very law that the prostitutes behind pulpits tell you that was done away with, or that these Zionist idiots today tell you, you know, the Zionist Christians, well, the law was done away with. Really? Well, you know, you can't get to heaven just by obeying the law. Well, of course not, you dumbass. Nobody ever said that you could. You get on there one way, through Yahshua. But that doesn't mean the law went away. Even Yahshua himself and his disciples obeyed the law. So he says here, if you'll do that, then I will hear from heaven, forgive your transgressions and heal your lands. You know, the lands that have been polluted with glyphosate and GMO and hybrid seeds and poisons from the air, with the geoengineering and all of this other garbage, with the corporate farming and the corporate ranching of animals. All of it is Antichrist producing poison instead of food. I was also given a warning very recently about alcohol. Most of our alcohol is made from ingredients that are genetically modified. Now, some of them are not, but you have to do the due diligence and research to find that out. So if you're buying just any old alcoholic beverage off the shelf, probably odds are it's made from GMO. Now, the other thing is, and I've thought this years ago, and this person that contacted me, it made a lot of sense, that they're putting ingredients in the alcoholic beverages to do things to our people. Now, a lot of people will say, well, Dan, that just sounds like conspiracy theory, man. You're not one of them tinfoil hat guys. Well, think about that for a minute. Because the average ignoramus out there will think, well, nobody would do something like that. And yet, these are the same people that a year later are still walking around with dirty diapers on their face, that are lining up for a jab of poison that has been untested. Okay? These same people who don't believe that the government or the mainstream trusted voices would ever do anything wrong to them have had a year of complete insanity going on. And yet, you don't think they would contaminate things like alcoholic beverages and food in general on purpose? Folks, you better pay attention to what the hell you're putting in your body now more than ever. Again, why we are trying so desperately to obtain land to start growing food and crops organically. Back to the family farm. In fact, back to the family. We've abandoned all the things that kept us safe, independent, and secure, which is large patriarchal families living together in close proximity. Grandma and grandpa might be living in the same house with the elder son and his family as long as they live. Brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, all within the same community. So at the county level, you had most of the people related to each other in some form or fashion. You see the power of that? They've got it scattered going all over the place where you're a stranger in your own land today. They destroyed it all. They made it sound like it was hickish. You were just a redneck, blah, blah, blah. All they had to do is use their media and get the lying prostitutes behind the pulpit to go along with it. And they've got you turned away from all of the things that our Heavenly Father gave us to help keep us on the straight and narrow. And they've done a damn good job of it. I mean, take a look at everything around us. It's falling apart. Speaking of falling apart, I just got a notice just before we started the program that today the Fed payment system went down. And I guess, anyway, this article was sent to me. I guess it's still down. I'm not sure. Now, the only reason I bring that up is because of other things people have been saying for the past 4 or 5 days about some chain of events happening, particularly in banking. I want you to pay close attention to that. So the quantum financial system, the QFS, has been talked about. The fact that the old SWIFT system was going to go away and the SIPS system, or CIPS, SIP system, was going to come in to take it over. And that's all part of the so-called change out of the financial system. Now, the question is it good guys behind it or bad guys? That part we haven't figured out yet. But is something strange going on in the world of banking and finance? Yeah, absolutely. Depends where we are on the timeline in the book of Revelation and who's behind it. So we need to be on our guard. And you need to be getting back to basics, folks, as we were just talking about. Back to family farming. Now, if you're stuck, and trust me, with the discrimination against the white race right now, many people are, because people are losing their jobs. They don't have a whole lot of finances. Moving about the country is getting to be extremely difficult. Contact me if you have to. I've put some of this stuff on the website, PastorDan.net, but we're getting new information all the time, and my contact list is growing almost by day here. I mean, I'm astonished at the people Father is sending to me, and it turns out they're all right here in Central Florida. The ones that I'm finding here lately are all Central Florida. And here we go back to what I prayed a long time ago. Where do we start? And I said, start building our arcs. Arcs are going to end up being all over the country. But where do we start? Where do we build our prototype? And everything pointed to Central Florida. And I just cannot explain why. I know what everybody thinks about Florida, especially with its high percentage of foreigners here, at least in parts. Not everywhere, but in parts, they're very high. But there's also a lot of Florida that's still in the hands of the Israelites, the Caucasian Israelites, and a lot of areas that are very agricultural. And all it would take is for the white man to take back control of his own country, his own states, and implement the laws that are already on the books, and all of these aliens will either run from here or they will become under control once again, because right now they're out of control. And they are far more racist than we ever thought about being. But my point again, white people today, a lot of times you're not in a position to move, so you need to think about getting back to basics. You need to think about being minimalists. Get rid of all that excess bullshit that you've got in your basements, in your closets, stuff you just aren't going to be using. All right? Strip all that shit away. And make room for stuff that you actually need day to day to survive. Make room. Make room for provisions and start putting some stuff away. You should have been doing this all along, but start doing it now if you haven't done it already. And we talked about beans, bullets, and bandages. Okay? Essentials should everything come to a screeching halt. You better put some things away. You better have at least 3 months. A way to make water. Okay? Our friends in Texas found out how precious that water supply is. When it goes down, it doesn't take very long for you to realize just how much you take it for granted. Same thing can be said for electricity. Same thing can be said for fuel oil and whatever you're using for heat. And for cooking, by the way. Okay, unless you've got a lot of dead wood in a region right around you, what are you going to use to heat? What are you going to use to make a fire? I hope you got some propane tanks put back and a grill of some sort. And some cast iron skillets would be nice. But also, if you don't have the resources to get a regular 10-15 acre family farm going, thanks to people like Professor McKinney, a dear friend of mine, and Chris out there in Virginia, who's also a very dear friend. He's got a ton of information on how to do organic farming and vertical farming and aquaponics and agroponics. Professor McKinney has also done that, and he on his website offers for sale these vertical towers. And between what Chris knows and Professor McKinney and many of you folks and some of the new folks I'm meeting, we've got the ability, and my son Jeremiah is doing this right now as we speak. He is doing vertical growing, indoor vertical growing. You can grow surprisingly very nutritious foods, especially with sprouts and microgreens. You can get very nutritious food that can be harvested sometimes on a weekly basis. You don't have to wait 3, 4, 5 months. Now, some stuff you do, but there are things like microgreens and all that can be harvested a lot more often than that, and they are nutrient-rich. Okay? A lot of our folks are probably anywhere from 50 or more pounds overweight, so it's not going to hurt them to eat less calories. Okay, that'll be a benefit to you because your stomach is going to get a break, your organs are going to get a break, you're going to drop those pounds. That will also help your organs, that will also help your joints. You see the benefit, getting back to simplicity and getting back to living the way Yahweh wants us to? You will have actual nutritious organic food you can grow right there on your property. And let me tell you, in Jeremiah's case, he lives in a mobile home park. They don't have a lot of room, so that's why he's growing in a spare bedroom. And he will be able to grow enough food that the family can live off of that. You get a little bit more room than that, or you go out into a little greenhouse that you've made, you probably can grow enough not only to support your family, but you probably have some leftovers to barter with your neighbors for things that you can't grow or can't make. We have an internal economy growing at that point. Because the Antichrist system, you can see the handwriting on the wall. It won't be much longer, and you will not have access to the brick-and-mortar stores that are owned by the major corporations who are in bed with the beast. I hope you see that developing right now. Okay? It's virtually impossible unless you want to sell your soul and acquiesce and do everything the Antichrist wants. You can't travel by air. Pretty soon you won't be able to go by train or bus. Not sure what they're going to do about cars. They may put up checkpoints. Who the hell knows at this point? But the problem is they're going to make it more and more and more difficult for you to live what you call a normal existence without acquiescing to the beast. Okay? I've got a lot of friends and family. I stay in touch with them on a daily basis. They're being pressured to get the vaccine. They're pressured to get tested, which you don't want to do either one of those, folks. You don't even want to take the test, let alone get the vaccine. But they're putting pressure. This is also a test to see how many people have the stamina to challenge the beast. Now, I wanted to let you know, too, I don't have a co-host tonight. Our friend Adam is going to be doing some things on Wednesday evenings. He will not be available to help me out with that function here. I'm looking across the board. Well, if anybody's interested in being co-host, meaning that I can make you co-host here, and that will give you the ability to block people that are trolls. It will also give you the ability to mute and unmute people that might want to say something in case I miss them. So if anybody here tonight wants that duty, now to do that, you have to be on a computer, obviously. If you're on your phone, there might be a way of doing that, but I doubt it. You pretty much have to be logged on with a computer. So again, anybody interested in that, just let me know. Ken from Mississippi says, stocking up on vacuum-packed sausage might be cheaper in the short run. I hope that's turkey sausage. Deep freeze uses way less electricity than upright refrigerators. Yeah, deep freezes, especially the chest type, by their design, are much more efficient than refrigerators. When you open the door on a stand-up refrigerator, all the cold air runs out. Whereas the vertical kind, like the ones that have pull-out drawers on the bottom, those kind of freezers are good. Or the what we call the chest-type freezer, where when you open the door, the heavier, colder air stays in the freezer. You don't lose it. So you can leave the door open for a few minutes while you get your stuff in and out. Whereas the front door refrigerator freezers, as soon as you open up the door, all that heavy, cold air just pours out onto the ground. Very inefficient, in other words. So we share a lot of information here. Again, it's all basics, folks, just like the scriptures itself. We get back to basics. I did hear from one of my dear friends that has been absent, sent me a very nice email, Michael. And I think he's up there in Indiana. But he basically apologized. He wants to talk to me on the phone. It was something that we allowed to break fellowship with for some time. And now he has, according to the email, he has had a come to Jesus moment with the Father. And he wants to talk to me about that and mend our fellowship. So praise Yahweh. The brotherhood is coming back together. Again, exactly what Malachi told us in chapter 4. Why I stress Malachi chapter 4, please. Maybe we'll go back and read it again tonight. It is where we're at, folks. It's where we're at. The Antichrist, who takes the form, and they call it communism, socialism, the deep state, whatever you want to call it. These are all nefarious people working for this criminal element. There isn't a shred of decency amongst them. There's no concern for humanity, no empathy for humanity. They couldn't tell the truth if you put a gun to their head. They would rather die than tell the truth. Okay? That's what we're up against. And the number of people realizing that is growing steadily. And Yahweh has brought some people into my circle here recently. I'm just amazed. I mean, people that are 100% awake, they've been awake. How in the world was that nobody knew about each other when we're all within a few hours of each other? I don't know. But Yahweh is opening those lines of communication here. I believe very soon a lot of us are going to have a chance to get some property. It may not be 150 acres like we'd all like to have, but it might be. It depends on how much of a financial blessing Father gives his children. But the point of it is, technology and methods have been developed by people far smarter than me on that topic, that you can grow quite a bit of organic food on a very small footprint of ground. And in some cases, you don't even need ground. You know, as I said, Chris has spoken to me about this. I know Professor McCanny, my son Jeremiah, and a few other people that are doing this kind of growing right now. There's no soil involved. It's aquaponics, and it's done vertically, and you can do it on a carport. You can do it in a spare bedroom. You can do it on a lanai or a patio. It doesn't have to be the traditional family farm in as we had in the old days, because modern technology is available and information is available to allow us to at least grow very highly densely nutritious food, organic food, non-hybrid, non-fertilized with glyphosate and all the other poisons that the corporations put on it. And you can do it in your own space, even in an apartment. I read a video I watched a couple years ago when I first started looking into all this. There was a gentleman in Baltimore, that's where it was, Baltimore, who lived in an apartment building. He was growing enough food in his apartment that he quit his job. So he not only provided for himself, I'm not sure if he was married or not, he might have been single, or had just a girlfriend, whatever. The point of it is, he had enough food to live on, and he made enough money selling his organics at the local restaurants and on the street. He made enough money to quit his job. So he was able to survive, and he also got away from corporate America. And he did that living in an apartment in a major city. So many of us live in better situations than that, okay? We need to reach out to each other and just realize that we are in a precarious position, because the Antichrist is moving right now. The communists of the world, all of this is run by Zionism and Judaism. They are making their push to put down the white man, to put down the white man's religion, which is Christianity, and put down the white man's ability to defend himself, which is an attack on our gun rights. And they are trying their damnedest to drive out any pro-white individual in every institution of government, the military, major corporations, and replace them with these non-whites who will basically do whatever they're told to do. Because, one, many of them hate white people. It's just they resent white people because we are the creators of this world, civilizers of this world, and they resent that. And also because the Jew, through the media, is fomenting racial strife right now. And again, let's get back to what's Father going to do to correct this situation, okay? We are being driven with all this stupidity and all this racial tension by one group of people. A lot of people don't like to hear it, but you know what? I don't really give a damn. Jews. Now, if you read the writings of rabbis and prominent Jews throughout the centuries, they've often talked about the fact that they hate white people. They hate the Christ. They are not his chosen people. Israelites are, and they are not Israelites. They are antichrists. They are the antithesis of Yahweh's people. And so they are the world's revolutionaries and antagonists. And again, they're proud of this. If you read their writings instead of just watching television, you would know this. They brag about the fact that they believe they are the chosen race. They are the superior race to all races, and every other race outside of the Jewish race is nothing more than cattle, herd animals, to be used, abused, and then discarded because they don't come up to their standards. This is out of the book called the Talmud, which is their holy book. It is not the Bible. Anybody telling you that the Bible is their holy book is ignorant, if not an outright liar. So it's time we wake up, folks. These are very, very serious times. But there are some signs that the Antichrist system is beginning to crumble. I saw a few other headlines today that made me sort of take a little bit of a leap there. Again, I'm not going to take my loaded up magazines out of my weapons. I'm not going to put my weapons away. I'm not going to stay or come down off of my due diligence and being a watchman on the wall yet, because I don't trust anybody. But I will have to say there's a few things I'm seeing going on that could be beneficial for our people. But even with that, we don't stop making preparations. Just like a Boy Scout says, you prepare for the worst case scenario. That's how you make your preparations. Pick the worst case scenario, and that's what you make your preparations based on. And the worst case scenario is that nobody's on our side. Nobody's going to do anything good till Yahshua opens the floodgates for our people. And so we have to do whatever we're going to do ourselves. And what is that? What we're talking about right now. Get back to basics. Start learning how to do organic growing on your property. No matter what your property is, I don't care if you live in a mobile home, you might have a spare room. And again, we have right in our little circle here, we have three individuals, personal people that I know, three individuals, highly skilled and very informative, with big hearts that will help anybody that wants, that know how to do this. They're doing it right now. Okay? That's just in the little circle right here. And there may be more that I'm not aware of. And I met three people within the last month right here in Central Florida. They also are doing this very same thing. Very spiritual, very energy conscious, very frequency conscious, very in tune with nature, wanting to get back to basics, organic farming, etc., etc., etc. So this is growing, growing, growing. I found out there's a gentleman in Tampa that I've been seeing on my email list for years. Happened to reach out to him because of something he said, and it turns out he's from the same area that I grew up. We know a lot of the same people, and he lives in the same small suburb that my family lives in. So right there, didn't even know it. Somebody that close by, again, awoke. I reached out to a lawyer who is running for Congress, and he's very much awoke. He also knows about the anti-white discrimination going on. I checked his information. He's written three books. I reached out to him. I'm going to try to bring him on here as an interview. Turns out he's right up in the Gainesville area of Florida. Jacksonville area. So I've reached out to him, and he's probably going to come on the program and do a show. Again, he's a lawyer, he's awoke, and he's a veteran. So again, this guy shows up on his email list. I happen to notice something he put out, and so I reached out to him, and here he is in Florida already, very much on the same page with the rest of us, very proactive, and also may come on this program for an interview in the very near future. So Yahweh does work with his children. He does work with those, again, like he said in the scriptures, if you seek him with all your heart. Here's the sad part. How many people actually seek him with all their heart? Okay? Let me ask you, as listeners, how many people do you know that seek the Father on a daily basis with all their heart? Just asking, how many do you know? Your circle of friends, your family, etc. Do you really know very many? Okay, I can tell you for a fact that it's not that big of a number. There's a lot of people that say they're believers or say that they're reaching out to the Father, but are they really? Do they really have the faith that we're talking about? Sad case is that, you know, Christ said himself, when I return, will I find faith upon the earth? The sad fact is, no, not much at all. Take a look at the diaper wearers. Take a look at those who are caving into the corporate structure to keep their job, or to get a job, or to get on a bus, or get on an airplane. I just saw a short video of a Canadian that landed back in Canada, and he refused everything, and he started yelling out to all the other Canadians, and he cited the Canadian law that protects them. And yet he was the only one that was challenging all these people. Pretty soon we got to start calling out the military and the police that are aiding and abetting this Antichrist communist takeover of the world. Okay? Why should they get a pass? A lot of people say, well, Dan, they got families and they got a home and they got a mortgage, and they just won't keep their job. I would ask, where in Scripture does it say you get a pass to assist evil so you can keep your job? Where does it say that? I'm waiting, okay? I'm waiting. Truth of the matter is, nobody's going to call in and give it to me because it's not in there. No, you don't get a pass. In fact, quite the opposite. The Father said that we should resist evil with all our heart. In fact, we should resist being dishonest and serving evil up to the point of accepting death. You don't get a pass, you military people. You don't get a pass. Sorry. I'm a veteran. I respect military, good military, people that know their oath of office and know their oath to the living God and humanity to do righteous deeds. Those kind of military, they have I would give the shirt off my back to them. I would probably take a bullet to protect them. But the bad ones, no. Same thing for law enforcement, no. Bad ones, as they said back where I grew up when I was a boy, I wouldn't piss on you if you were on fire. That's how little regard I've got for bad cops. No, you need to be weeded out. You need to be thinned out and gotten rid of. And the good ones held up and given more money, more support, and more attention. Same thing goes for sheriffs. For the sheriffs that know their constitutional duties to we the people, hallelujah. You got all my support. Never hear a bad thing about you from me. I would give them a shirt off my back, and I probably would take a bullet, and I certainly would volunteer to be a deputy to assist and protect the sheriff and his deputies and their families. Okay? Their families need protection. That's where we of the militia could come in. When we have good people in government positions or in these corporations or in law enforcement or in the military, where are our men at arms, the militia, stepping up and volunteering to watch their property for them? When those men are on the job, say the local sheriff and his deputies are out doing their constitutional duty, where's the militia to volunteer to be on the street outside their homes watching their families for them? Okay, that's what we could do. We could start reaching out. I'm reaching out to Sheriff Mack. I want to try to get a sheriff elected for Miami-Dade County because we don't have one. The criminals out of Miami got rid of the sheriff years ago and replaced him with a chief law enforcement officer. And he's, guess what? Oh, that's right. He's appointed by the local bureaucrats. So is he going to protect we the people? Hell no, he's not. He's going to do whatever keeps his job. His respect, his loyalty is to whoever signs his paycheck, so that's the local bureaucrats. Whereas the sheriff is elected by we the people. That's why he has an allegiance to the people. That's why I support Richard Mack and the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA. So there are things we can do. But one thing for sure, you want to stay away from the vaccination and the test for the vaccination. And we have a caller. Pastor Greg, how you doing, buddy?
Brother Dan, a pleasure to listen to you tonight. Praise Yahweh. How are you?
Yeah. Praise Yahweh. I'm doing okay, buddy. How are you?
Well, I live in New York, so every day is an adventure up here. And it's a pleasure to speak with someone that actually sees what's going on in the world, because it seems like such a small number. I believe there's tens of thousands of people that see what we see, but it's hard to hook up. Our voice has been taken away. Our race is under siege from countless angles. And we shouldn't be surprised by it. And to be honest, I'm perfectly glad to be alive right now, even though every day drives me totally crazy. I realize there's probably never been a better time to be alive in this world than right now. It's a privilege to be going through this insane, complicated moment where the entire world is arrayed against a magnificent, divine white race. They term it white supremacy, which I hate that term. I do not like my enemy to define the terminology of the moment. They're actually very, I don't consider them smart. I consider them cunning. There's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And, but we should be, we're privileged to be alive right now. I believe we're seeing the end of this age coming to a wrap. It may go on for a while. It could get far worse. I predict it will. It's my opinion. I can't prove it, but I think we're in the early stages of it really getting seriously bad where, you know, it's going to be a hate crime one of these days just to have a white face. I mean, we're halfway there now, you know. We're not quite there because, you know, we're still the people that make the lights come on and the water come on when you turn the faucet on, go out and put a key in your car drives. That's us. But they hate us so much. They're just, I don't know. The world seems to want to rejoice as us being swept away. Anyway, brother, listen, I appreciated so much your speaking tonight. Clear speaking, truthful speaking to me is such a blessing anymore because it's so rare. I can't even watch television anymore. I do watch a little. But I mean, the nonsense, the propaganda, the Judaistic, there's a giant killing coming on. It's got to be planned. They see it. If you don't see it, you're blind. I can't even, you know, I can't even talk to any more to people that don't see anything. I used to have giant patience for people that didn't see anything. I'm talking white people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, let me just break down what's going on. That was me 10, 15 years ago. At this point in life, if you don't see anything, I just walk away. I go, if you don't see any, I mean, if you're like, can you explain to me the moment, Greg? I go, okay, all right, let's sit down. Here it is. But if you see nothing at this point, you're just a casualty of war. You're going to be gone. I have no time to waste. I have no patience to waste. I appreciate our people, our men, our women, our young girls, our young boys. Our race is under siege. Let's face it, they want to get rid of us. They hate us. The world hates us. Satan's children on this planet are determined to erase us from off this planet. I mean, was it not prophesied in Genesis 3:15? This should not come as any surprise to us. We should be understand we're privileged to live in this moment. We're living in the final moment of this psychotic, satanic, Matthew chapter 13, wheat and the tares age. The tares are trying to erase the wheat. It's what they do. They're hardwired to kill us and destroy us. And unfortunately, we're like the sheep. We're just... I'm not saying you and I are sheep, brother. You and I are no longer sheep. We're way beyond sheep.
Excuse me.
But right. The majority of our people are still like this altruistic thing where we can save the world. I left off of that about 20 years ago when I finally saw what was going on. But that's okay. We're the watchman on the wall. We're crying out the warning. Most of the sheep are not going to make it. I get it. My heart is for the sheep that are seeing things, that want to fight, that are going to make it. I think your heart is there, too.
Mm-hmm.
So many of our people are not going to survive these next 2, 3 years, 4 years. I don't know how long it goes on. If you can't see the cranking up of the enmity against our people, it's too late to see it. I can't explain it. If you don't see it by this point, I just walk away from someone. I've walked away from many of my family members.
Yeah.
I don't have the patience anymore to break it down for them. You know, I used to be this apologist that would try to describe Christian identity to folks
and go, well, you know, 2,000 years ago, all the Israelites, you think they were Jews, but they were really whites. I'm way beyond that. I don't know, I've developed a hardness. I think I have to at this point.
Yeah, it'll drive.
I'm not soft anymore.
Right.
We're at war. The entire world wants to wipe us out. I just don't have patience to be, go white race 101 with our people.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't see it, I just walk away. I go, I don't know what to say to you. You let your daughters date blacks. You let your sons go out with other races. Your daughter comes home with blacks, and you let her bring home black grandchildren, and you're okay with it. Don't even talk to me. I'm gone. I would have left way before that, by the way. But it's not even just about that. The entire world wants to erase us.
Well,
am I allowed to talk so clearly on your channel, brother? If I'm not, I'm sorry.
Well, of course you are.
Okay, great job.
We have no censorship. 21 years, no censorship. Yeah.
I'm going to be 66 in a few months. I've seen a lot. I was a former Baptist minister, ordained as a Baptist pastor for a number of years. Always wondered why I always hated what I was doing. Didn't see anything. And all of a sudden, it opened up.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the concept that our race, we are truly Yahweh's children on this planet. And I saw the ancient Israelites were white, not Jews. And, the whole Bible became clearer. This world hates us. I mean, Genesis 3:15 is the one verse in the Bible that you have to wrap your head around. The hatred between the satanic seed line and the seed line of Yahweh. And Matthew 13 also is very important to understand. The wheat and the tares. And we're at the end of it. And I don't know, the older I get, the more simple it becomes. They hate us. They want to erase us. Most of our people don't even know what's going on. It's amazing. I would say for every 1,000 white people, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 might have a clue. The rest are just clueless sheep that don't know what's going on. Don't even know what to do if their daughter brings a black boyfriend home. Don't know how to deal with it,
Mm-hmm.
100 years ago, they knew how to deal with it. 100 years ago, it would never have happened. And that's just I'm rambling.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, brother. And you're always welcome on the program, and you can speak your mind, Greg. You're one of the favorites of all the people that have been on this show over the years, and people are often asking how you're doing. Let me read a few quotes here to the folks while you're collecting your thoughts there. But This is an individual that just goes by the initials Juliet Indigo, J.I.
Yep.
Wishing no harm to enemies is wishing harm to ourselves and our children. That's very profound.
That's an excellent quote.
Yeah. He also said, a people cannot know love unless they are willing to kill those who destroy it. Couple good quotes.
I love that quote too.
Yeah.
You know, brother, we're at war. We've been at war for 1,000, 2,000 years. Most of our people don't even know that we're at war. That's the nature of our enemy. We are so deceived. We don't realize they are literally erasing us. War has been declared upon us.
Mm-hmm.
And most of our people don't even know that war's been declared upon them. While we have an enemy that is rumored to be more intelligent than us, and we'll never believe that, they are just more organized, more hive-minded, more cunning, more evil than us. And it could appear to be intelligence, but it's not. They kick their fucking ass in intelligence. They're just so organized. They make us, and they are dedicated to making us disorganized. Excuse my profanity. They've just wrapped us. They've made us being turned around in circles, and we are literally our own worst enemies. Would you not agree with that?
Yeah, we are.
The white race, we should be ruling this world. We will be. It's been promised to us. We will rule this world as kings with a rod of iron. It's coming up. But I got to admit, for now, we're kind of getting our asses handed to us.
Well,
and I hate it because I see it.
They turned us against ourselves.
Yes. They take our weaknesses, our carnality. Let's face it, brother. We have vices, we have weaknesses, and they have exploited them. Look what they did to Germany. Oh, I am such a fan of studying the last 100 years. I was born in 1955, classic baby boomer. And once I really saw what went on in World War I and World War II, and how the Germans saw what was going on, and they rose up, and literally the Jews turned the world against them. It was an awakening to me. And I'll study till the day I die how they take our people, and just when we get a moment of awakening, the entire world is arrayed against us to smack us down. And if you don't see it now, you'll never see it. You'll never see it. The United States, I can't even talk about the people in charge now. It makes me crazy. They are trying to wipe out white supremacism in our military. I wake up in the middle of the night and just go, is this a bad dream or am I really here?
Right. These guys that they're talking about really aren't white supremacists. That's just a euphemism.
Of course not.
Brother,
there's
term.
No such thing to me as a white supremacist. I'm thinking Abraham Foxman came up with that term.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Jews did. Right.
You know that little hand twirling Jew, Abraham Foxman.
Mm-hmm.
The Jews are masters of defining the vocabulary, defining the parameters of. I mean, they have been deceivers from the moment they were initiated in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. That's fair. Yeah, absolutely.
When the serpent deceived Eve, no, you'll be as a god. They've been doing the same thing ever since. You don't want to be, Greg, those are racist thoughts. You're not a white supremacist, are you? They know better than to say that to me. No one, you don't want to ever say that to me.
When your enemy is calling you names, it just means you're over the target. You must be doing something good. And they're afraid of you. So they're afraid of the whites in the military that know what the hell's going on. So,
exactly, yes.
To get the average sheep in the public to look the other way while they try to rid our military and police of any white person that believes in white values.
Right. Anyone with the slightest inclination of loyalty to the thousands of years of racial heritage to whom they were born into.
Right.
Boy, we can't allow that in the military. That would just be a disaster.
That's why the Jews must go. The only solution to fixing this world is Obadiah verse 18.
Amen, brother.
Okay.
Obadiah
told us many, many centuries ago, the solution to the world's problems is the elimination of the Jew. I mean, that's
them being ashes. There is no relocating them. There is no negotiation with them. There is no coexistence with them. It's either we go or they go. And again, it all goes back to Genesis 3:15, the enmity between the two seed lines. Mm-hmm. That is the greatest verse in the entire scripture, in my opinion. You probably share their opinion, but I mean, there's 1,000 great verses, but the understanding of Genesis 3:15, the enmity between the two seed lines, the seed line of the woman Eve, the white race, the Aryan race, the 12 tribes of Israel, that spread out across the world and founded all the great nations, and the seed line of the serpent. And then Matthew 13, to me, is the New Testament confirmation of Genesis 3:15. The tares and the wheat growing together. The wheat is the sons. I'm sorry. The tares are the sons of the evil one.
Right.
So there are literal sons of the evil one on the planet. Jesus Christ made it so clear.
Mm-hmm.
And that race exists today. Who are they? Well, we know them. They're the Jews. They are the Jews. And it's so obvious when you look at history. Forget ancient history. I like to look at the last 50, 60. I like to look from World War I forward is my basic frame of reference, is World War I, World War II in particular, because I'm a baby boomer. My dad fought in World War II. And that, you know, the last 100 years, in essence. And we are seeing Genesis 3:15 just lived out, where the Jews have taken over the world. They've somehow swooped in, and what they did in the early temple, where Jesus Christ went crazy and whipped their asses. They've done the, you know, that was the goal. That was Goldman Sachs setting up in the temple back 2,000 years ago. That was mm-hmm. the first branch of Goldman Sachs Bank that opened up, and somehow they've survived, and here they are, and they run the world, the Jewish Federal Reserve banking system, where somehow we let them create the wealth and control it. Please tell me I'm having a nightmare and I'm going to wake up from this. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
We let Jews control our money? Woo, that's not a good thing. You know?
Well, it reminds
we
me...
We let Jews create wealth. So if we let them just push a button and they can create trillions of dollars, what are they doing when we're not watching them? I don't even want to know. I don't want to know.
Yeah.
I'm hoping I can sleep tonight. We're going to kick their ass, brother. It's prophesied. It's book of Revelation. It's the book of Daniel. It's throughout the scriptures. I know it looks bleak. Does it not look bleak for us? But yet,
that's what
if the Bible
said.
Is true, and of course it is, we win. We bury them. We walk. Our feet will walk through their ashes. I believe we'll see it in our lifetime. It can't be far off right now.
No, we're at the end. It reminded me while you were talking, who were the two of the greatest adversaries of all mankind, but particularly the white race today? Of course, number one, top of the list, is the Antichrist Jews. But
oh, yeah.
Also women full of the spirit of Jezebel.
Brother, be careful getting me started on women. I'm an expert on women. I have worldwide expertise on women. I was married to a woman for 30 years, and we had 4 children, so I could write books on women. By the way, she was Italian, so that makes me a double expert.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, you were saying.
Well, I'm just saying.
Brother, the reason we're even in this whole mess is because of Eve. Eve. We should do a series of messages on women, but Eve put us in this mess. Yet, she's a woman. Can you blame her? I don't know.
Well,
Adam was out doing his job, working, doing whatever. You know, a serpent came up and sweet-talked her and said, you know, da-da-da, you know, blah-blah-boom. And all of a sudden, her legs come open, and here we are.
Man.
And the satanic seed line was put on the earth. I suppose it was meant to be, but you can trace this mess back not to Adam. Adam didn't put us here. It was Eve.
Well, Adam, the fault I find for Adam in this is because there is a bit of both parties have a sort of blame in this whole thing.
I agree. Adam had fault,
Adam,
no doubt.
The job of Adam is to be cover. To be the coverture or the cover
right.
for...
He was not there to protect his woman when the serpent came around.
Right.
Who knows where he was off to?
Who knows what he was doing? Was he out hunting? Was he out working? Or was he goofing off? We don't know. But the point of it is, somehow Eve got outside of his protective circle to where Nakash had access to her. And without Adam there to be the balance,
yeah, because she
was
helpless.
Men are much more logical, women are much more emotional. Men are driven visually, women are driven by words, by the audio signal. And that's exactly what Nakash did. He got her both visually because he was a handsome man, but he was still a devil. And he used sweet-sounding words. Well, think about this. How has the Jews seduced the world, particularly the ladies, but through control of the narrative coming across the flat-screen images of the beast?
Absolutely, brother. They have mastered the art of seducing our women.
Mm-hmm.
The attack that happened in the Garden of Eden against Eve is still going on in this very moment, only it's far more sophisticated, more technological, more widespread. Look at our women today. The attack against them, our white women, is unrelenting. It starts literally in kindergarten, in grade school, in junior high, in high school, and by the time... Let me tell you right now, anybody out there that has any concept of loving their children and seeing what Yahweh wants to do on the earth, if you have your young daughter and your son, but your young daughters in particular, if you have them in public school, pull them out tomorrow. You cannot have your children anymore in public school. You may as well just throw them back in the garden and let Satan come right up and just seduce them, because that's what's going on. With the nonsense that goes on in the public schools today, you cannot have your son or daughter in a public school. And whatever you have to do to homeschool them, make it happen. Public school is no longer an option.
No.
I'm not even talking in a state like where I live, New York. In any state, the educational system in this country has been subverted 100% by the devil's children. You cannot allow your child, your son, your daughter, to be in a public school. I don't know if I can say it any stronger.
No, no.
If you love them, homeschool them. That's all there is to it.
Yep. Let me give you a couple news items here I just got, just came in. Number one, there's another good quote. This is the Japanese samurai code Bushido, and it says, "The only solution for bad and violent people is good people that are more skilled in violence." Amen to that. Now, this came in from John Whitehead of the Rutherford.org, Rutherford Institute, which is Rutherford.org website. And I know John, excellent writer and patriot, but he just did an interview apparently on the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges, and he said...
I'm a Dave Hodges fan, by the way. I love his website. I've never talked to him, never met him, but I'm a fan of his website.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Apparently, during the interview, he said, "It's appalling what the government is doing. All veterans are in a list to be watched. And they are basically classifying 80 million Americans as, quote, domestic terrorists, meaning we are veterans either of military or law enforcement, and we are defenders of the Second Amendment. That puts us on a list. Now, I've been on a list for so many years, I forget what it's like to not be on a list. But
brother, I'm certain I'm on every list there is to be on.
Oh, yeah. But I don't
really
care. If my enemy has me on a
list,
me
neither. At 65, I've lived, I think in terms of two-thirds, I've lived two-thirds of my life. You want to really mess with me? Come on. I'm playing on the house's money at this point. Let's go.
All right.
You know, come on.
The house's money.
I'm on the house's money, you know. That's just how I think, man.
Oh,
you really want to? You want to put me in a FEMA camp and take away my, you know what's? All right, come on, pound on my door. Watch what happens.
Right.
You know, I'm on a house's money.
That's
By the way, One of my favorite verses in the Bible, I bet you can quote it, Psalm 144, verse 1.
Let me go find it here real quick. Psalm?
I'll quote it. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight.
Amen. Which one is that again, Psalm which?
144, verse 1.
Okay. I've heard it, but I forgot that it
was one of my favorite verses.
Yeah.
That, you know, this concept of us turning the other cheek, I'm not really sure what that's all about. Maybe in the right moment, but in the average moment, where when they're coming for me, I'm not turning the cheek. I'm slapping in a 30-rounder, and I'm double-taping it, so I really got a 60-rounder. I just got to flip it upside down.
Mm-hmm.
And even though those aren't allowed in New York, so I don't really have any of those. Wink, wink, nod. I don't know, brother. I just can't. We're living in a strange time here.
Absolutely.
But I'm excited to be alive right now. We should be thrilled to be alive right now. It sucks for us, yes, but the whole scripture points to this moment. It never said it was going to be great at the end, you know?
Right.
I mean,
right.
You quoted the verse earlier. When I come to the earth, will I find faith?
Yeah.
There will be some, but not a lot. It'll be the remnant that has faith.
Amen.
The elect upon the earth that hung in there. There isn't going to be a lot. Judeo-Christianity will have dissolved and blown away. They see nothing. They see so little, they see nothing.
Right.
At the moment of persecution, Judeo-Christianity will dissolve. We will be persecuted till the end. Faith will be hard to find, but it's there. And it's a privilege to see at this moment in time what our race means. We're the true Israelites on this planet. Jesus Christ was a white man, not a Jew. All the ancient Israelites were white, not Jewish. We see through the deception. Praise Yahweh. It's a hard time right now, but would you trade this moment for any other moment? I would not.
No. Let me, this is a short one here, but Psalm 149, which backs up what you just read, what you just quoted out of Psalm 44, but Psalm 149, hold on just a second.
Yeah, my verse was Psalm 144, verse 1, one of my favorite verses in all the Old Testament.
Psalm 144, okay. Well, this is Psalm 149. It says, praise Yahweh, sing to Yahweh a new song, his praise in the assembly of the saints. That means the called out ones, called out by Yahweh himself. Let Jacob Israel rejoice in him who made them. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises to him with tambourine and harp. For Yahweh takes pleasure in his people. He crowns humble with salvation. You want to get through this, folks? He crowns the humble with salvation. Let the saints rejoice in honor. Let them sing for joy on their beds. May the high praises of Elohim God be in their mouths and a two-edged sword in their hand.
I like that last part.
It gets better.
We don't have to be meek, you know. We can kick some ass at the end, I think.
Exactly. So why do we have a two-edged sword in our hand? Verse 7. To execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. All his saints have this honor. Praise Yah.
Brother Dan, tell me it doesn't drive you crazy. I assume you monitor multiple white nationalists websites as I do, because I like their insights on things. But I go crazy when I read them tearing down being a Christian. I understand their concept. They don't understand how the Jews have destroyed being a Christian, the theology, the true understanding of it. You know, they view Christianity as some Jew invented thing to guide the white race down the wrong path. They see
mainstream
drives me nuts.
Right, mainstream Christianity, they're right.
Right. I used to post all these different things on their websites and try to break down Christian identity for them, and I get like 50 posts calling me some weirdo, and I finally lost patience. But they just don't understand. What would be the number one target of the satanic seed line to destroy? The true faith. The true faith laid out for the Aryan Israelite race. Where else would they focus their energies? So all the theological seminaries for the last 150 years have been infiltrated, the theological schools. I've told you before, I have a four-year degree in Bible that I got, that I graduated in 1981. My theological school was, I saw none of this at the time, believe me. I'm certain that 99% of all the theology I was taught was Jewish infected. To this day, I'm washing my brain out of the stuff I was taught. And I realized, but the one thing I see is where would be their focused attack? It would be on the true faith, the true Israelite faith, the Christian faith, the true Christian faith. The Christianity that pervades the world now is so infected with the Jewish virus. No wonder the white nationalists who see nothing despise it. I don't blame them. I get it. I get that you hate what you see. I get it. I wish I could sit down and explain to them, brothers, where else would the attack be focused? Our faith will rule this world, will win this world. What else would the Jew infect first and foremost? And I mean, look what they did to Jesus when he came to the world. What did they do? They killed him. I mean, it wasn't the Romans, it was the Jews. They killed him. And they've been killing him and his faith and our faith ever since. So it should be as no surprise that the satanic concept known as Judeo-Christianity, which I got my degree in. Of course, I was taught that the Jews were the true Israelites, Jesus was a Jew, all that nonsense was shoved down my throat. I was 25 years old. What didn't I know? I swallowed all of it. By some miracle, I woke up. I was awakened. I didn't see it. It was shown to me. But
we got
the white nationalists, they look at it and they mock it. They go, no, we have to follow Odin. I'm like, Odin? Odin?
Right. Yeah. We've got Henry with us.
Greg.
So, Henry, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Henry?
Is your name Greg?
Greg, yeah.
Greg, I've heard you before, and I really enjoy listening to you. Unfortunately, I didn't get home till 9 o'clock tonight. I just got home a little while ago, so I missed the first hour of the show. I don't know how long you've been on. I heard you I heard you once before on Dan's show, 6 or 8 months ago or whatever, and I know you're from New York, and I really enjoyed that broadcast, too. I don't know, there's something about your the way you deliver your thoughts. It's just it's very very it's entertaining as well as enlightening. And
thank you.
I don't know what it is. I just feel a little bit of a connection with you.
It's probably because I have a drink or two before I come online. To be honest,
that's fine too. You were just talking about white nationalists a little bit, and when you said,
and by
that,
the way, I have a lot of respect for them, even in their ignorance.
That's what I was,
because I was where they were, so I get where they are.
I was just going to say, the thing I was going to say is, I really think that we as Christian identity, Israel identity, whatever you want to call it, we know what we are. I think we have a lot more in common with atheistic white nationalists than we certainly do with Judeo-Christians.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely.
The biggest thing is they appreciate the fact, they understand the concept that being white is a big deal. Being born into the white race is a big deal. They just can't connect the dots to understand the divinity aspect of it.
It's the brain,
that's what they don't get.
It's the brainwashing that they've, the little exposure that they have to the Judeo-Christian church, whether it's through a televangelist they see on television, or the hearsay, or the stupid moron people who go to these churches who don't know what they're talking about, and they try to pass on what they think is knowledge to them. And these people, I don't blame them. I really think about some of the nonsense through the bad translations that the Judeo-Christian preachers pass on to their congregation.
Exactly.
For example, Noah's flood. The entire earth was flooded.
I know. The entire world was covered with water. Yeah. Obviously, that did not happen. Yeah, yeah.
Mount Everest is 6 miles high. Okay, so for the entire earth to be flooded, that means a place like Florida, where you're a couple of hundred feet above sea level, you had 6 miles of water over you, Dan. Did you know that back then?
You know, well, when you factor in that the entire world is being taught that the white race is some kind of, you know, if you see the war against our people, I mean, it's a miracle our people are even allowed to admit that they like being born white anymore. That you're not allowed to say that.
You can't even say it's okay to be white. Never mind, it's great to be white. You can't say it's okay. It's so
I must confess, Brother Dan, I got a confession. I have never a moment in my life suffered from white guilt syndrome.
Amen.
Ever. I love
good
being white.
Me neither.
I wake up in the morning, I look at my pink face in the mirror, and I go, Yahweh, thank you, I'm a white man. I love being white. I love white women. I do not lust after any women on this planet unless they're white. I like white women.
Everybody likes white women. They all prefer white women.
Tell me they're not the greatest looking women on the planet.
By far.
Oh, my gosh, that pale skin, those freckles, I go out of my mind.
That's right.
I cut you off, brother. Please continue. I'm sorry.
No. Feel free, brother. I'm just, everything you're saying is just common sense. The same thing with Dan. When Dan talks.
That's why I like Brother Dan. Brother Dan speaks clearly the truth. You know what's weird? Brother Dan and I have never met face to face. And Dan, we got to make that happen. But we have connected, I believe, on a very spiritual level. And I feel very connected to Brother Dan. And he lives in Florida. He's invited me down. He says, anytime I can come down, I'm open. I've invited him to New York, but I don't see him coming up here, to be honest.
Well,
I don't blame him. Don't come up here, man.
Yeah, I'm in a
you don't want to come up here.
I'm actually closer to you. I'm in Connecticut, and I'm in a similar situation.
Oh, okay, Connecticut. All right.
So I've never met Dan in person either, but I feel the same spiritual connection. I've conveyed that to him on a few occasions. We've talked in private. But I know whether it's in this age or the next, we will come in contact for sure.
Amen, brother.
Amen. And same thing.
Well, now I kind of have understanding, which I didn't used to have, of I think it's Matthew chapter 18, verse 23, where Yahshua Christ said, where two or three are gathered together in my name,
mm-hmm.
I will be in the midst of them. And I used
Absolutely.
To wonder, two or three,
Well, we got two or three here.
I get it. We're in the two or three moment right now.
Right.
And we're not even gathered face to face.
Yep.
Gathered over the internet, and yet I believe that verse was kind of almost a prophetic verse to this moment. We are gathered together in the name of Yahshua Christ. We're scattered. We're not meeting face to face, but we're gathered in his name. I believe he's in our midst. He has to be.
Oh, no question. No question about it. It's great. It's just great. You know, I made contact with somebody tonight. This is a very rare circumstance, very rare occasion for me. I am not a public person. I don't socialize. I stay at home 99%.
But there's no way to socialize it. There is no more socialization.
No, but I mean,
honestly.
Even before this scamdemic, I was kind of. I've always been a very private person. I've always lived in the country, and I just
same for most of us. Yeah, yeah.
I'd never liked socializing even before this shit started. Okay, so it's just the way I am. I've always been like that. It's the way my parents raised me. But the one activity that I do engage in, and it's for my own physical health. It's the only thing I can do to keep kind of active is I swim. So I just came from this pool.
That's an excellent sport, but
I did one year. My mom and dad forced me 1 year to swim team when I was a little kid. Swimming kicks your ass. I'm telling you that.
At my age, it's the only way I can get these old muscles to loosen up. Otherwise, they get all stiff, you know. So,
how old are you?
I'm going to be 65 in April.
Okay, I'm 65 right now. So, yeah, we're the same age.
So the three of us are all in the same kind of age bracket here. So we
if you can swim on a regular basis, I salute you.
Yeah, as often as I can. It's the only thing I can do. But I think the three of us probably have had a lot of similar life experiences, having
absolutely
been raised in the 60s as a kid, you know. Well, Dan, you said
I graduated high school in 73, so I'm guessing you're close to that.
74, yeah.
Okay.
Dan sent out an email the other day of a little kid on a Hot Wheels. That was, when I saw that, it was so funny because the kid, he had the cowboy boots and, you know, a Hot Wheels car, and he was like, no nonsense, kid. Let me have some, you know, let me get in some trouble here. And we're so sissified today. The parents raise their kids. They control it. You know, they just, it's a sick society. It's a mother freaking sick society that we live in today. But what I was saying is I ran into this guy at the pool tonight, and we just started a casual conversation about the stupidity of the masks and everything. He was telling me he saw somebody at the pool the week earlier with a effing mask while he was swimming. Now that I've heard everything.
That doesn't surprise me in the least.
They drive with them
while he's swimming.
Know,
wow,
swimming
yeah.
with a mask.
Incredible.
So when he said that, I said this guy's going to have a couple of marbles in his head. So we started talking, and I got within 5 minutes we were talking about the juice, and it was freaking great. My wife got out of the pool because her 30 or 40 minutes was done. I usually stop after about 40 minutes. She was just sitting down in the chair watching us converse, go back and forth. The more, you know what I find? You just have to take those first couple of steps sometimes, and you find out if the guy's got any common sense and he's got any integrity. When you open up to him about truths like World War II, Adolf Hitler, the Jews, the bankers, the New World Order. It all comes out.
Yeah, it's not hard to find. It's not hard to find a sympathetic soul after about a minute or two. A question or two will tell you all you need to know.
Yeah, but you know what? You know what the problem is? A lot of the people who are in the so-called truth movement are afraid to breach that JEW question. And you got to do it real soon. You got to do it real early in the conversation because it always comes to that. Why put it off? It's inevitable. Every rabbit hole leads to them. So why not cut to the chase and get to it? And that's what
Absolutely.
I did tonight. And so we didn't waste any time. I cut to the chase. We got to it. And we had a fantastic conversation. And it went on and on. And you know what the best thing about it was? He had his 14-year-old boy with him, right? His name was Jace. And this kid was staying right with us. He was
nice.
He was like 5 feet away from us the whole time, just listening to us. And every once in a while, and we were really talking about them bastards. And you know what I'm talking about. And every once in a while, I'd look at the kid and I'd say, what do you think about this? And he'd look at me, he'd shake his head yes, he'd nod his head yes. And I could tell this kid was soaking it in like a sponge.
And it's always nice to see a young person who's succumbed to the intent. You know, imagine being 13, 14 years old in the world right now with the brainwashing going on. I would give myself no credit to see anything. Brother, I'm a miracle of Yahweh that I see anything.
Amen.
I was a Baptist preacher. I got a degree in Bible from a Baptist Bible college. I was going to be a preacher guy and be a nice preacher and do my preacher thing. And all of a sudden, I started reading Bertram Comparé and began to see the reality of race and saw who the Jews were and saw who the white race was. And I thought, wow. They never taught me this in Bible college.
No,
it upended my whole life. It cost me my marriage, cost me all my money, and I'm okay with that.
That's all right.
I wish I had my money back, not my woman. But, you know, once you see the reality of this thing, it changes everything.
Yeah, and it is. It changes your entire world.
Well, you realize this thing is real. I mean, I'll come up to people anymore. You know, I want to kind of see where they are. I'll go, you know, do you know how the Grand Canyon was created? And they'll go like, no. I'll go, a Jew dropped a quarter down a hole. And I'll just kind of step back, and if the reaction is okay, then I'll kind of get into the two seed line thing. And if they freak out, I'll just walk away.
That's,
you know,
exactly right away. Don't waste your time. That's why I was very surprised tonight, because this guy.
It's one of my favorite Jewish jokes, by the way. I heard that a few years ago. I just like to pull that out. Sorry, Brother Dan. I'm kind of an anti-Semite here.
Well, that's I said that to the guy I was talking to tonight a few times. I said, you know, at any point, if you think I'm an anti-Semite, just say the word. And he just kept shaking his head. Absolutely not, man. I hear everything you're saying. So it was cool.
Is that just not like a classic joke, though? A Jew dropped a quarter down the hole, and there was the Grand Canyon. To me, that's one of the greatest Jewish jokes.
Jewish fables.
I probably know 100 of them, but that's my favorite one.
Yeah. Just at the end of the conversation, I knew I didn't have enough time, and I knew it was going to be kind of earth-shattering to his world, because the first time you hear that the Jews of today have no lineage, nothing to do with ancient Israel, and Jesus is not a Jew, when you lay that bombshell on somebody who's really coming awake, that one's a little tougher to absorb, and I could see his head shake a little bit, but I said, brother, if you ever want to talk more about it, you know, I'm here. So I'm glad.
Well, I generally take people that show a little interest and have a little Bible interest. I like to take them to Genesis 3:15 and just walk them. I like to take them back to the Garden of Eden, what went on, seduction of Eve. Eve spread her legs. Here we are. But Genesis 3:15, the prophecy of the enmity, and that, if you understand that verse, the whole Bible begins to make sense. If you don't understand that verse, the Bible just is like, you don't know what's going on.
Yeah, if you can't understand Genesis, the first few chapters of Genesis, for what it really is telling us, then forget. The rest of the Bible makes no sense.
Your first name was Henry, right?
Correct.
Yeah, yep. Henry, when I saw the truth of Genesis 3:15, it changed so much for me. I've been a historian my whole life. My dad fought in World War II. And, at the time he was a young man and we're fighting the Nazis and the evil Germans and, you know, he didn't see anything. And, and he didn't understand the satanic war that was going on. And I didn't understand it until I was 40, 45 years old. And I realize now, if you don't understand the warfare broken down in Genesis 3:15, you don't know what's going on, but if you see Genesis 3:15, history unfolds to you. Right. History going back thousands of years. But, you know, because I'm alive now, the last 100 years to me is the most relevant. So once I saw Genesis 3:15, World War I became, actually going back to the late 1800s, the influx of Jews flowing over here from Russia, from Poland, I begin to see, okay, this is the invasion of the promised land, and then the Woodrow Wilson okaying the Federal Reserve and the whole thing, and the ADL opening up in 1913, the World War One going crazy, and the Jews trying to destroy our people, and then a brief interlude while they destroyed Germany, and then World War Two being declared, and they have taken over the world since World War Two. Here we are in the current moment, and Genesis 3:15 makes it all so clear.
Yes.
They want to erase us. They hate us.
They hate
it was prophesied there's hatred. The problem is we don't see the hatred.
You know why they hate us most? Because they know that Christ is our kin. Our kin, not theirs.
Exactly. They know we're going to destroy them in the end. That's what. If they want to hate us so much, they can hopefully in their satanic mind, if they kill us off, they destroy us, weaken us, race mix us, we cannot wipe them out at the end. That's the plan.
That's
That's the plan. They've tried to race mix us out of existence.
Yeah, but it's doomed to failure.
Yeah. Hey, guys.
Exactly. It's doomed to failure. Yep.
We got Chris on the line with us. Chris, welcome to the program.
Hey, Dan. How you doing? How you doing, Greg? How you
doing, Chris.
Henry? Hey, Chris.
I was sitting here chuckling about the whole Grand Canyon thing, and I thought, you know, all the times I've called into BYD, I have never told
my I told an anti-Semitic joke. Brother Dan, I don't mean to be an anti-Semite here. Forgive me.
That's okay.
Chris, where are you from? What state?
I'm from Virginia.
Okay, good state.
I live in Virginia.
Although Virginia, if not mistaken, was recently taken over by the Democrats a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. It's all blue in Richmond and D.C., but it's all red everywhere else.
Actually, I would propose that Connecticut, where I'm from, New York, and Virginia might be the three most Jewish inundated states in the country, other than California, maybe.
Dude, let me tell you, New York is highly Judaized up here. I'm amazed I'm still allowed to live here, to be honest.
I think, Chris...
I have a plan in place if I hear pounding on my door in the middle of the night.
I think Chris wanted to say something. We might want to let him call in.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to jump in with the joke really quick, and all the times I've called in...
Speak on, brother.
Joke. So the joke goes... you know what a rabbi and a wet log have in common?
What?
They both hiss when they're thrown into the fire.
Oh, boy.
Well, I don't have any Jewish jokes, unfortunately. If I didn't come prepared tonight. If I'd known this, I would have found something, but...
Well, that one's an original. Right. It's not copyrighted, though, so you're welcome.
That's all right. You know what? There's a lot to laugh about, those bastards. Just the way they look.
I could be honest here. I used to have far more of a sense of humor 10 years ago than I do now.
Well, yeah, I think you're a pretty funny guy.
It takes a lot to amuse me at this point in the war. I'm actually more ready to go to war than to be... I'm nothing against any of you brothers, believe me. I'm just speaking... I had a big sense of humor a number of years ago, but... The war against our people, our race, our Israelite kind, has advanced to such a point where it takes a lot to amuse me anymore. I want to go to war.
Yeah, I do
honestly.
Too.
I'm ready to lay down my life and go to war. And maybe there's an opportunity for it to happen. Maybe there's not. But
can I watch
my kindred get wiped out. And war being declared against us for just appreciating what we were born into, and I'm fucking sick of it. And I live in New York, so my head spins around a lot daily. I'm glad to be here with Dan and Chris and Henry and you brothers speak. Chris, you just called in. What do you got? Bring it,
buddy.
Pretty much it. For the most part, I'm just quiet. I just wanted to tell that joke. But, I don't know. I mean, I find a lot of comedy in what's going on. I mean, you only get one apocalypse, so you might as well enjoy it.
I know. You have to try to find a little humor now and then. I do, too. Yeah. I'm not saying I don't.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty jaded.
We live in a very special time, so we might well enjoy it. As bleak as it seems, and it really is, but we're that close. We're that close to the next age. And so that's
I think so too.
You know,
yeah,
so,
be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. I think I read that somewhere.
I believe we're going to have the privilege to see. It's just my opinion. I can't prove it, but I believe we're going to have the privilege to see the end of this evil satanic age and the destruction of the Jewish. I don't even know if the Jew is the right term. The satanic seed line of Cain is to me is the right term.
Yeah, Jews
that's out of the book of
anyway.
Enoch, the seed line of Cain.
Jews,
and we call them Jews. They've been known by various names throughout history. We know them as Jews. I view them as a satanic seed line, whatever name you want to apply to them.
And even
they are going to be totally destroyed. There will not be a single one of them left.
Even in their own encyclopedia, they acknowledge themselves as Edom. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't even, they struggle to define themselves.
Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
Freaking
we got,
we will witness their destruction. We will participate in it.
I want
it cannot happen
in,
soon enough.
I want to participate.
We
oh,
another,
yeah.
Hey,
that's
guys,
a given.
Another,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Caller. We have another caller, guys.
No. Whoa.
John in Miami. Go ahead, John.
Good evening to all. Good evening, Pastor Commander
Dan. Good evening, John.
May Yahweh bless everyone here tonight, 1488. I just heard a comment that some of the states that are highly Judaized, well, you forgot to mention us here in Florida, particularly South Florida, where me and Pastor Dan are. Anyhow, the population of the Jews down in South Florida is quite high, or a small number that they are, but there are a lot of them. And the biggest ones are really in the Fort Lauderdale, Florida, or the what is called the Broward County area.
Yep.
And also West Palm Beach, and I believe just slightly above that. Those are where the main concentrations are, where a lot of the Jews are. That's why the state of Florida is a swing state. So that's really what I wanted to say. On top of that, as you all know, our current governor, Governor Rick DeSantis, his wife is Jewish. They're both lawyers. Lawyers should not be in public office, but they're both lawyers.
He's a Zionist, isn't he?
Yes, he is. What is it? A Gentile Zionist? That's what I'll call him. But
yeah,
his wife is a Jewish girl, and I think the assistant, what is it, the vice governor or the assistant
lieutenant
governor? I don't know what the. Yeah, the lieutenant governor.
Yeah.
Yeah, the lieutenant governor for Florida. It's a woman. She is a lawyer. I'm not too sure if she's Cuban or not, and I don't know if she's Jewish or not, but it's a woman. She is a lawyer. But this is what we have here in Florida right now. The lawyers are in charge, and this governor is a Jew lover. God, oh, this is crazy. That's really all I have to say and wanted to say, but Florida does have a pretty good sizable Jewish population. And mainly, where was it, high school shooting? Stoneman, Douglas, where, Parkland, where they're next to, in Broward County, Parkland, Florida. There's supposedly the population there in that municipality near Fort Lauderdale, I think it's 54 or 55% Jewish. So, I've read that a few times. That's a lot of Jews for you right there in that one place. Oh, yes.
Well, if they're
that's it. Yeah,
stick
go ahead.
County, that wouldn't be too bad. If you can just keep them all in one county, you know.
I'll be upfront with you, man. And I'm sure everyone's going to agree with this. Why don't we just send them all back or send them somewhere in this world where we can just watch them, keep them where they are, and they don't leave, put a quarantine around
on an
something,
island.
Like my oven.
It's got to be an island, right?
Yeah.
Isolated.
Oh, exactly. But my goodness, I've watched them ever since I started getting into the Jewish issue many years ago. I have watched them screw this country and then reading what happened in World War II and World War I. And now look where we are with this COVID lie. How far is this going to go? I want America back. But of course, I'm dreaming here. It's not going to come back unless the real men, the real lions do something about it. All right, that's it. All of you have a good night. Yahweh bless all of you. And Pastor Dan, thank you for letting me in. 1488, Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless, buddy.
Yahweh bless, brethren.
Amen. Wow. Yeah, your governor there, Dan, he's got some good traits because he keeps the state open. And he said, F you to Biden. But he is a staunch Zionist, so I guess you take the good with the bad.
Well, the thing of it is, everybody in government at the state and federal level kisses Jew ass, okay?
Yep.
They all do. There's only a handful that didn't take the loyalty oath to Israel. You're talking very, very tiny portion of state and federal government that's actually loyal to this country. They've all committed treason, swearing loyalty to another nation outside the United States. That in itself is an act of treason.
treason.
So, you know, we need to purge out all of the cowards. But the main thing, they do that because the Jews have a stranglehold on the money.
Yep.
And with that money, they bought up our media. They bought up our major corporations. They bought up farming, medicine, broadcasting, Hollywood, and bought their way into government positions. So, again, the answer to all of our issues that we're talking about here, the root of the tree of evil, as Henry David Thoreau would say, always turns out to be these Jews. Okay, they're the root of the tree of evil. So every one of these branches that we discussed tonight, whether it be the anti-white issue, the pushing of this COVID nonsense, the dirty diaper wearing, all of this stuff emanates from the same root. It's being financed through Jews, all of it, every bit of it. So the answer, obviously, to a thinking man is, you've got to cut the root to the tree. You got to take them people out. Strip away their power. Strip away their wealth. Strip away anything that they own in this land and exile them to a remote island somewhere that can be monitored with all the modern technology we have to make sure they don't get off that island, ever.
I think you'd want to start with the... decentralizing all the banks.
Decentralize everything.
Everything. But the
everything.
Banks, wouldn't you say that's the head of the snake?
The banking is the head of the snake, but everything that is centralized is communist. Centralization is a tool of communism. So Yahweh's law teaches local government, just like the libertarians are always talking about, just like the law of Moses in the Old Testament. Okay, those are all local government, libertarian in nature. Communism, on the other hand, wants all the power to go to the top of the pyramid because that's where they sit. They know they don't have the numbers. They don't have the power. We have the numbers, and we have the power as far as human power. They have only control through our mind manipulation, through the media, and the enforcement through monetary policy to get us to acquiesce to their demands. So the answer, of course, is to strip them of their access to this fake money system, destroy that money system, which destroys their power, and come up with a biblically based, debt-free, precious metal-backed financial system that we control, and that strips them of their power instantly. And then you round them up and exile them out of your country because they are just like scorpions. They're going to sting every opportunity they get. And so the only solution is that they must be removed from your society and exiled to a remote island where they cannot leave under any circumstances. Nobody goes in, nobody comes out.
Yep. And, you know, we have a script that we could follow, and we just have to finish it this time and do it right. The National Socialists came close. They had the right idea. They were basically doing the right thing. Hitler made some mistakes, but he tried to protect the world from communism. This time, we have to do it for good.
So did Mussolini. And
correct.
So did the Japanese, by the way. Very nationalistic, very anti-communist. So that's why they demonize all three nations. But
right.
Here's the problem, okay? And this is why we got to get back to what Henry David Thoreau said and what Obadiah, Ezekiel, and Malachi say in the scriptures. The reason that the alliance between Japan and Italy and Germany did not work is because they did not do the things that they're being blamed for. They actually allowed Jews to stay in their country with power and in banking and in industry and in the media and in entertainment. Okay? They made the mistake of allowing them to stay in their country and maintain power. In fact, Hitler and Mussolini even had Jews in their military. And that is a disaster. You cannot allow them anywhere near your intelligence agencies and your military and police. They must be vetted out immediately, or they will circumvent the power structure and turn them into nothing more than a group of ass kissers, just like a lot of the generals and stuff in the Pentagon today. They're just that Jewish ass kissers. Okay? They ruin everything. Everything they touch, they ruin, exactly as Christ said. You are of your father, the Diablos, devil, okay, the adversary. Everything you touch, you destroy it, you pollute it, because that's your nature, okay? And again, I'm quoting Jewish sources when I say these things. Those aren't my words. I'm quoting rabbis and other Jews who have admitted that this is their trait, okay? In fact, I interviewed a guy named Philip Glidden, who came out of the education system. He's an atheist, but he wrote a book about trading on guilt about the Jewish influence of education in America. And he even made the statement that Jews are parasites. Now, this guy's an atheist, so he had nothing to... He came on the show just to talk about his epiphany on what the Jews have done to the education system, which he spent a career in. He lived in the Northeast somewhere, and he retired to Florida. But if you go back in my archives, you can find that interview. So Philip Glidden, and he wrote a book on it. So people have been identifying this problem for a long time, but nobody's had enough courage to face it, and certainly not Donald Trump. Donald Trump is a Jewish ass-kisser par excellence. Anybody that thinks Jews are going to be dealt with by the Trump people is crazy.
Right.
All right.
You know, yeah. You know, Ralph just made a comment, and he said, you know, Ralph has a lot of knowledge, especially about World War II, and he says that there was 150,000 kikes in the German military from 42 to 44, and the Allies knew every move the Germans were making for those 2 years. So
they had 150,000 spies.
Yeah, so that testifies to what you were saying about the demise of war, you know, the end of Germany in World War II. So, you know, honestly, in my opinion, I don't know what the other guests think, but your analysis of how to do it correctly and avoid the mistake that Hitler and the Axis powers had in by retaining Jews in their military and so forth, I don't think that it's possible without some kind of divine help. I think about it. We white people tend to be so individualistic, especially in the United States. We have a problem just naming the freaking Jew. And here we are. We realize if we're going to really fix this problem, we got to get him on a remote island. It doesn't seem to me that that is attainable without some kind of, I don't know. You tell me. It does it. I don't know. I'm just spinning my wheels here. It seems like a hard problem to overcome because of the decades and decades of brainwashing. It's hard to even talk about them. I had a conversation tonight. It was rare that I was able to talk to an individual like that open. A lot of truthers today won't talk about them, so they're not real truthers in my mind.
Right.
So I don't know what anybody else thinks about that.
Well, we're going to have divine help.
We have to.
If you think about it, even in your personal walk through this life, I mean, how many of us can say we did it without divine help?
Right.
Not very many people I know.
Well, he's coming soon. He's coming soon, I believe.
Right. We have divine help with this every day of our lives.
Yeah, right. But to end this control that they have of the world, we're going to need on a global scale divine help.
Well, the book says that the solution is when the sons of God are manifested, because the sons of the Most High have been sitting on their ass in the shadows for a very long time. So when they finally manifest themselves and give up this constant search for attention, materialism, money, prestige, sweet-sounding words, you name it. Our people are, you know, they worship every idol known to man. When they give up all that and they want to actually fix this world, I think that's when it'll start happening. That's when the Father can help us.
Agreed.
So, you know, that's why I work so hard to get our men to learn how to be lions again and to do what General Stonewall Jackson said, that duty is ours, the consequences belong to the Father. Okay? Duty, 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 duty. General Douglas MacArthur, General George S. Patton, General Smedley Butler all talked about a true soldier answers the call of duty. It's duty, not politics, not worrying about your pension, not worrying about all that bullshit. It's your duty. If you're wearing the uniform and took the oath, it's your duty. Not worrying about all the other garbage. And that's where we got to get our people back to standing up for their oaths and everything else.
Right.
I just saw another headline that Cliff High has a thing out here that the Fed is down. So apparently the financial system is on some shaky legs right now as of tonight. So stay alert to all that stuff going on.
Oh, boy. Yeah, it never ends.
Well, again, preppers, I mean, we've talked about that on this program for years. Be like a good Boy Scout and take some preparations for Rocky Road ahead and do some just basic prepping. Hopefully, I would hope everybody that listens to this program has done some basic prepping. And if you have, you don't need to fret so much. But
that's right.
If you haven't, shame on you, because...
What are you waiting for? If you can't figure this out,
I don't know how much you have to see to cause you to go into the alarm mode.
It's like you said. I'm also at that point now where I don't try to. You know, we're a year into this nonsense, so I don't waste my time trying to convince someone wearing a mask, walking on the street or whatever. I'm not even going to approach a person like that anymore. As far as I'm concerned, the fate that they're dealt is what is deserved for being stupid. So you can't fix stupid. Sorry.
Right. Yep. Well, so. We got the Romans 8, verse 19, for the creation waits with eager expectation for the children of Elohim God to be revealed. That's a different translation of what I was talking about, the sons of Yahweh to be manifested. Manifestation, of course, is to make visible or to be revealed. So again, the whole world, the creation, waits with eager expectation for the children of Yahweh God. That's us! So we have the power to shut this whole damn thing down, okay? Father doesn't have to do it for us. We have the power. We just have to realize we have the power and work together as a team, as a family, and we can accomplish anything we put our minds to. Absolutely. Anything we put our minds to, except that we've allowed the enemy to separate us, to divide us on all these different various issues. So instead of working as a team, as a family, we're putting knives in each other's backs, and we got to stop doing that. We got to start thinking as a unit, as a family, and then there's nothing we can't accomplish. And they know that. That's what they're afraid of. That's why they spend so much time with the deception, the fear porn, the misdirection, the misinformation, all of that. And number one thing that people should do, if you want to really get your confidence back, get some sanity in your life, and be able to think again and whatever, shut the goddamn television off, people.
Amen. Get rid of it.
Get rid of that piece of garbage in your house. Or at least disconnect it.
Well,
disconnect it from the internet.
You know the only thing I use it for now on occasion? Is if I've got a good video I find on the internet and I just want to watch it on a big screen and relax, I just take a HDMI cable, connect it to the back of the TV, side of the laptop, and that's it. That's all it's good for now.
And that's, so it's just a big monitor then is what you're
using. That's all it is.
Right. Yep. And that's what I have one for. When it's not being used, I use it as a a display for my Air Force flag and my American Legion Riders banner. That's
right,
what
as far
I use.
But the content, if you turn it on and actually watch the content that's coming out of it, you're lost.
Exactly.
You're useless to us, too.
Yep, exactly. All right, Henry, we're at the two-hour mark. It's hard to believe, man. The time just flies when we get on here. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and because I'm starting to get a little sleepy and tired here.
Sure.
So
no problem.
If you want any closing comments, and then we'll wrap it up.
Well, I just say I enjoyed talking tonight. I joined late, but I liked the guest you had on that was talking. I had heard him before. I think he's a funny guy. So when I tuned in, I heard him. I figured I'd just chime in and say a few words, and I just appreciate being on the show, and I appreciate you being there every week for us. That's it.
All right, Henry. Thanks a lot, buddy. Yahweh bless to you and the little lady.
All right. Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, that's Henry up in Connecticut. Earlier it was Pastor Greg up in New York, and then our friend John in Miami and Chris in Virginia. So we had a nice little gathering here tonight. And again, I try when each show, I try to keep it to about an hour because I know a lot of people are very busy, and asking for an hour of their time is like asking for their right arm for a lot of folks, and we're typically an hour and a half to 2 hours. So, but the good news is that the feedback I get from all the audience, everybody enjoys it. They don't mind it being that long. So praise Yahweh. I think the audience, our guests, whatnot, are doing a hell of a good job getting Yahweh's truth out there. And we got to remember, the scripture even talks about Messiah showing up on a charger for war, okay? White, meaning righteous, pure. Charger for war with white vestment, which means, again, righteous and pure. Dipped in blood, meaning it's going to get violent at some point. But he shows up with a sword, double-edged sword, out of his mouth. Okay? A double-edged sword out of his mouth. That means his words, truths, words spoken, destroys the enemy. Because they live with deception and lies. That's what they're all about. You destroy them when you expose their lies and deceptions. And that's what the Jews are all about. By war, they make war by deception. That's the motto of the Israeli Mossad, their secret police, so to speak. And that's how they do everything. They run corporate America by deception. They run the state and federal governments by deception. They do the Federal Reserve by deception. The media by deception. Hollywood movies are full of propaganda and misleading information. Deception. Teaching and education, deception. Colleges and universities, deception. The medical mafia, deception. The pharmaceutical industry, deception. Everything is deception, meaning lies. They are just like their father, the devil. Adversaries and liars, as the Arian Christ said so long ago. So again, to our callers and our guests tonight, we thank you for showing up. For the folks that listen later on downloads, Yahweh bless your hearts. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, glory, and honor that we're even here after 21 years, that we're still able to get your truths out and to fellowship with one another in the midst of all the censorship, in the midst of this communist takeover of the world. Jews using communism as a tool, Jews using a fake pandemic as a tool for martial law, and yet the wake-up is in full swing. Many, many people, especially your people, the Israelite Caucasians of the world, are beginning to realize who they are, who you are, and the family is starting to come back together, as Malachi chapter 4 discusses. And we're appreciative of that. We pray that you would continue to pour out your spirit of truth and honesty and integrity upon this earth as more and more people realize that we live in a cesspool created by this corporatocracy this cacistocracy run by pure psychopaths that have no empathy for mankind, no empathy for the vegetation, no empathy for the water and air, and no empathy for the vegetation. They are criminals and have committed great and heinous crimes against humanity. They deserve to be arrested and put it before tribunals, and if found guilty of any of the capital crimes listed in Scripture, they should be taken outside and executed post-haste. We know that needs to be done. We pray for it to happen soon so that this world can return to prosperity for all, health, happiness, and no more of this man-made, centralized, huge government, no more centralization of anything, banking, religion, any of it. It's all tools to manipulate and control us. You are the one who sets us free, and we need to remember that and repent of these other institutions that we've given our allegiance to, our time and money, and our fear. And we need to drop all of that and come back to you and give you the reverence you deserve. So in that vein, we ask that you walk with us and guide us, give us good discernment, take away any fears that we might have, and always protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.